That's powerful. Wow, wow, wow. That is, it's exactly what we do, isn't it? First time we're hurt, we start building a shell around us because we don't want to be hurt any longer. And what we find out is that that shell actually keeps God's presence out also. Amen. That's a powerful song. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 20 today, so it's quite a few, so hang with me. Entitled this, Life Controlling Problems. And my prayer is really that you understand this lesson. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him, out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tomb, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' For he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Then he says, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out into the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us into the swine that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country what had happened to see, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus, and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had legion, sitting in clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Isn't that amazing what we're afraid of? "And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed, and about the swine. And they began to plead with him to depart from the region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you.' And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and he marveled, and all marveled." Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I know your word is truth. And Lord, we need to build our life on truth and not some fable, not a myth. So Lord, I pray today that the word that goes forth is word that we build our lives on, will form, Lord, our theology, our thoughts on your word, Lord, the truth of your word. I pray today that this sermon is not meant to be entertaining. It's not meant to do anything other than to teach us the truth of the Word of God so that we can form our thoughts in you. I pray, Lord, that if there's any thoughts that are not of you, that they would desist and be torn down, and that your thoughts on this subject would be replaced with those. So, Father, we come up with strange theology sometimes. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help form the correct theology in our hearts and minds so that our lives would be based on truth. Father, I ask, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. First, I want to say that one of the things we know is people starting to cover up. You might want to turn that air down. Jesus and God is very intentional. He doesn't do anything by accident or by, "Oh, well, that sounds like a good idea." God is very intentional. So you may ask yourself, Why is Mark chapter 5 in the Bible? Come on. Can you imagine living with Jesus and walking with Jesus for 3 years, and then we come up with four Gospels, which three of them are basically the same? Don't you think today there would be volumes of books written on the activities of Jesus? So why choose this story? Now, Mark didn't just think, oh, I remember that story, so I think I'll put that in. No, the Bible is the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And God is very intentional. So God says, my people need to know about demon possession. They need to know it's real. And Hollywood didn't create it. And if your theology has come from Hollywood, it's off base. And while I'm going there, let's go one more step. You ought not watch those movies. Because there is an element of truth in them. And it just shouldn't be in your house. There are spirits associated with it. You ought not let them in your house. Okay, get that aside. Let's tell this story. I don't know about you, but the first thing that went through my mind is, why are they raising pigs in Israel? Now, I know that I think just a little differently than you. The Jews don't eat pork. And I'm thinking, you got 2,000 pigs. I mean, that's a good-sized pig farm. And most of you know, I love raising pigs. I mean, we built that Gaga court, and the first thing my mind went to is, we could put some little piglets in here. This would be wonderful. But why build pigs in the midst of a Jewish nation that don't eat pork? Well, they're on the northeast side. That's Greeks. It's Gentiles. So that's why, and maybe that doesn't mean a thing to you, but stuff like that, just like, that don't make sense. What are we doing? So I've got to get those things straight in my mind. The second thing is charismatics, Pentecostals. Man, we can get so messed up in our heads about demons. I want you to listen to me. I want you, as you read the scriptures, you realize Jesus never went on a demon hunt. He never went around looking for demons. He didn't go there looking for Legion. Legion looked for him. Don't live your life looking for the devil. You look your life to please God. Keep your eye on Jesus. Keep your eye out of the darkness. If you live close enough to God, the demons will present themselves, I promise you. Because did you notice that they recognized him just like that? They called him Son of God. Now everybody else is still scratching their head thinking, who is this Jesus guy? But the demons recognized him. You're the Son of God, and you can torment us if you want to, and we don't want you to. So he comes, he gets to the northeastern side of Galilee, he lands on this shore, and all of a sudden this guy comes running to him. And did you notice it said, at the top of his lungs? Now I would love to demonstrate that to you today, but I would probably pop a mic and a few speakers and scare you half to death. But this would scare most people. If this guy who could not be controlled with chains comes running at Pat. I mean, screaming at the top of her lungs, you know, his lungs. And I mean, most of us would have said, get back on the boat, get back on the boat. You know, it didn't scare Jesus, did it? Don't you just see Jesus in that peace that he had just standing there? You know why? He had full authority. He did not have to be afraid of a demon, and neither do you. So a couple things we learn real quick. One, don't go chasing them. And two, you ought not be afraid of them. Now I will tell you, we live in a very spiritual world. Now you may not know that, but we do. There may be things that absolutely do appear as you move in close to the Lord. We have had encounters with demons in our house. at night. They've appeared and different things like that. And I learned years ago from Martin Luther, as I read stories about him, he woke up one time and there was a demon sitting there standing at the foot of his bed. And he said, "Oh, it's only you." And he turned over and went back to sleep. That's the way you handle a demon. No fear. You ought to cast it out of your house. But you ought not live in being afraid of a demon. So this guy comes running to Jesus, and Jesus deals with him out of love and compassion. Ask him, he said, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion, because there are many." A legion, I believe, was about 6,000 Roman soldiers. So, again, another lesson. You will find that demons run in packs. So if you ever do meet a demon-possessed person, there probably are several. A lying spirit will go with another spirit and different things like that. So I know some of you guys are, "Dear God, where am I at today?" I'm just trying to open your eyes a little bit. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? They tried to mess with a demon, and they said, "You know, we come to you and in the name of Paul and Jesus." And they said, "Paul, we know, and Jesus, we know, but we don't know who you are." In other words, you have no authority. And they beat the fire out of the seven sons of Sceva, one guy. So they do have supernatural strength too. But Jesus sets this guy free. The demon said, "Will you just send us into those pigs? Don't let us just go out." And Jesus accommodates them and said, "Yes." And as soon as they come into the pigs, what do? Destroy the pigs. That should tell you another things. What is Satan's intent? It's to destroy you. Just like he did the pigs, he wants to do to human beings. So he wants to destroy you. And he did that immediately. The townspeople come out. And this is one of the saddest parts of Scripture. This guy who they could not control, who was living in the tombs, one other thing. Did you notice he was cutting himself? It's satanic by nature, and our kids are doing it today. They're cutting themselves again. That's a satanic thing. You may be sitting here today saying, "I just don't believe in that." You know, I probably can't help you then. But I want you to know, you need to have your eyes open. As much as you believe that there is a God, you better believe that there's a devil. If you want to believe in a heaven, you better believe there's a hell. So there is a place. But when they come out from town, they saw this man called Legion sitting there in his right mind. Don't you think that's an interesting word to use in Scripture? He was in his right mind. He wasn't possessed any longer. He was thinking correctly. I'm just going to skip ahead just a little bit. You know, even as a Christian, sometimes we're not in our right mind. If you're dealing with depression, you're not in your right mind. You will make decisions based in that depression rather than based on the Word of God and based on that. And it will skew you. It will get you off track. So you keep that thought in your mind for just a little bit, okay? But they see this guy. They recognize, man, that guy's been delivered. Look at him. He's just sitting there. He's talking like a normal human being. But they go to Jesus and said, "Jesus, do you mind leaving the area? Because we just lost 2,000 pigs and we can't afford to keep you here." Now guys, how many people make financial or spiritual decisions because of their finances? "Lord, the cost is too great to follow you. So we don't..." That's what they were saying. "Jesus, we don't want you in our area. You look like you're going to cost me something. And I'm just going to tell you right now, if you decide to give your heart to Jesus and follow him, it is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your life." You see, we say all the time, salvation is free. Yes, it is. It just costs you your life. Because you are not your own. So that's basically the story. Now I want to start to get into some teaching points. And the first thing we want to say is, what is a demon? A demon is a fallen angel. It's when Satan fell from his highest. You know, Satan was Lucifer. He was created as an angel of God. He was one of the most beautiful angels ever. He was the worship leader. Watch your worship leaders. I'm telling you. Just, you got to keep your eye on them. Well, if you'll read in Isaiah, pride filled his heart and he wanted to basically have a coup against God and wanted to overtake God, and God cast him down, and about a third of the angels fell with him. Where did he go? To earth. He was cast down to earth. Now this is a thought. It's a common thought, but it is a thought that before God created the earth, matter of fact, one of the terms in Genesis actually is recreated the earth. Satan was here. This is where he was cast down to. See, the earth was already there, but when God started creating light out of darkness and stuff like that and forming the water, right? It was here. But it says it was formless, it was void. God doesn't create anything formless and void. God creates everything with perfection. So why was it in such a chaotic state? Matter of fact, let me just say this. Pentecostals, you ever go to a church that's chaotic, but they're spiritual, you head for the door. Because God is not into chaos. God is orderly. Now, he's spiritual and he'll move supernaturally, but even moving supernaturally, there's order and there should be peace in that service. Another side point. Anyway, so a lot of people believe that that's where Satan was cast down to. A lot of people believe at that time is where your dinosaurs come into the fact and stuff like that. And so it was wiped out basically because Satan is the destroyer. And so he destroys everything. And then so God would come back to earth and recreated the earth. You don't have to believe that. I'm just saying it is a common thought among theologians. Demons torment and they harass people. They lead them away from God and truth. Now in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, he says, "We do not wrestle flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." What does that verse teaching you? It's teaching you that there is hierarchy in the kingdom of darkness. Just like there's hierarchy in the kingdom of God, there's levels of darkness. Many people in the church will say, "Satan has been after me all day long." That's incorrect. It's not Satan, it's one of his little imps. You know, Satan, don't ever assign to Satan the power of God. He is not omnipotent. He's not all powerful. He is not omnipresent. He cannot be all places at all times. He cannot be. Now he has imps. He has people that does his bidding. But he cannot be. And he does not know your thoughts. So what's that teach you? Keep your mouth shut. Because he's listening to you to say something so that he can beat you up with your own words. Because he cannot read your thoughts. Now, he can place a thought in you. The Bible calls those fiery darts. That's the fiery darts that Satan throws at us. It's a thought that will hit your heart that if he can get into your mind, becomes a vain imagination. Listen and remember that word. This is good stuff. I know it's not. I've never preached a sermon on demons. I pray to God I never do it again. Demons can and do live in the bodies of unbelievers. In other words, many, many people today don't believe that people can be demon-possessed, and it's just not true. You can be demon. Unbelievers can be demon-possessed. Now, please listen to me, because I don't want you leaving this place saying that Eric said this if I didn't say it. I am not saying that every unbeliever is demon-possessed. I am saying there are a few out there, probably more than you can imagine, that are demon possessed. What does that mean? It means Satan is controlling their life. Now, listen, have I got your attention? Christians cannot be demon possessed. Why? Because you're already possessed. You're possessed by God's Spirit. You can't serve two masters. You serve the one, you hate the others, what Scripture says. Now you stay with me for, because that's an important part. You cannot, as a Christian, you've got the Spirit of God in you. You cannot be demon possessed. You can be oppressed. And that's what we deal with as believers. We are tormented by demon oppression when he gets in our thoughts. Demons cannot live in the believer. Our believers are told in James chapter 4 to resist the devil. 1 Peter also, resist the devil and he'll flee from us. Never in Scripture will you hear these words to a believer, cast him out. It says resist him. Doesn't say cast him out. It says resist him. It says cast him out. When Jesus gave us authority to go forth in his name, he said you heal the sick and you cast out the demons. What's he talking about? To the unbeliever. To the unbeliever, you may have to. And again, you don't have to go looking. They will present themselves. You just need to know how to deal with them when they do present themselves. So, if we cannot be possessed, why can we not? Because in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says that we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, all things are new. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, he says, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 6, 15, he says, believers, you have nothing to do with unbelievers. You have nothing to do with darkness. Do not be unequally yoked. Listen to me. Believer, you have no right to marry an unbeliever. You're being unequally yoked. You don't understand it. You're yoking yourself up to darkness. Oh, yeah, we get that, Pastor. Okay, we get that part. Let me go a step further then. You're getting ready to go into business. You have no right. You have no business going into a joint venture with an unbeliever. You're setting yourself up for a miserable existence. Why? Because you think differently. And I'm going to tell you another thing. You're going to get to the point in your life as you walk with God, you're not going to be able to work for an unbeliever, especially if he's unethical. Because he's going to ask you in this day and time, he's going to ask you to do things that you cannot do. You'll wind up quitting. Therefore, I say, believers, we ought to have more businesses. We ought to open up businesses and employ other believers. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he says, we've been rescued from the dominion of darkness. The dominion of darkness. We've been rescued out of that. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Satan and Jesus will not coexist in a heart. I hope that's good. I hope they got that one. However, there are many Christians that are oppressed by Satan. Oppressed means a mental pressure, distress, are influenced by Satan. How does that happen? I hope you're staying with me. How does that happen? Because in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, he says, do not give a foothold to the devil. Now, I don't know how you view that scripture, but I view that scripture in the old days, salesmen. When the salesman would knock on your door and you would open the door to them, the salesman would step up and put one foot in your door. Why? Because you couldn't close the door on him then. That's the way I see that scripture. When you open the door to the devil, he steps in and puts his foot in the threshold of that door so you can't close it. and he has got an end way to your life. And that can be a vain imagination. It can be something as simple as a parent telling their child they're stupid. And it begins to build in their heart. Why? Because somebody didn't cast that thought down. I preached Wednesday night that, and a lot of people are not going to like this, but they're trying to say today that marijuana use is of no consequence. That, it, you know, in the 70s, we said, no, marijuana is the gateway to drugs. But today they're saying, no, it's not, it's innocent. Well, we've got two or three states in the United States that's already passed. It's good, you know, it's legal in this state. What they don't realize is they just hook themselves up to witchcraft. You see, when you see in the Bible about the word witchcraft, if you go back to the original Greek, you will find that word is pharmakia, which is the word that we get pharmacy from. It's talking about drug use. And even though the side effects from marijuana may not be as harmful as other drugs, you don't realize spiritually what it's doing to you. Spiritually, it's opening a door to demonic influence in your life. I did not say demon possession. I said demonic influence in your life. Why do you think we call alcohol spirits? There's so many Christians says, there ain't nothing wrong with drinking. That's not what Proverbs said. He said, when it starts to sparkle, you ought not have anything to do with it. I knew I'd get a great amen. Oh yeah, Pastor, you preach that good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, we don't like to hear the truth. But it's the truth. Well, let me clear this one up. So, Pastor, you saying if I have a beer, I can't make it to heaven? No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. But I will say this. I don't believe you'll ever get to the point where God wants you to go as long as you're bringing other things into your life like that. So it's according to how deep do you want to go with the Lord? How far do you want to go? If you want to live a compromising life, you're all right. Go ahead and have that beer. Jesus, I can't believe I said that. Please don't. No, don't have that beer. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5 says this. The weapons we fight with, now listen to that, the weapons, what does that just tell you, right? Just in those two words, the weapons, we're in a battle. Most Christians don't even know that. Oh, we're just going through life, aren't we? No, sir. You're in a battle for your soul. You just don't know it. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. I pray your eyes are open today. On the contrary, they have divine power, godly power, to demolish strongholds. Okay, what is a stronghold? A stronghold is a thought that's been placed in your mind. And it's been there so long that now it's influencing the way you think and the way you conduct your life. That means at some point in life, somebody looked at you and said, you're never going to amount to nothing. You'll probably be in jail before you're 18 years old. And if you let that remain, it can become a stronghold in your life. What does that mean? It means you'll never attempt to go up because you're believing a lie. When you believe a lie, the Bible says you're damned. So what do? Scripture says, cast down those imaginations. If it doesn't sound like God, if it's not full of love, it's not God. God is never going to look at someone and says, you'll never amount to anything. That is not my God. He is for us, not against us. Called us to be victors. So the very first thing he says, we've got to demolish these strongholds. So here's the way I see it. Satan sends a little fiery dart. He may use you to send that fiery dart to me. He may have used a teacher. He may have used a parent. He may have used an ex-spouse. One of the worst things about divorce is the things that get said between people. And if you're not careful, those things you carry with you for the rest of your life. And we're so ignorant. I'm sorry to say that. Void of understanding. Not stupid. We're ignorant concerning spiritual things. We need to know that God, I can't just think positive thoughts and get past this. I can't just say, oh, I'm good, I'm good, I'm so smart, I'm so smart. Oh, God created me. No, that positive thoughts don't do it. Those things have to be cast down and prayed off of your life. So he says, we demolish arguments and pretension, our imaginations. So those thoughts then become an imagination in your mind that begins to really build up in your mind over life. It becomes truth. That's the way you see yourself. Why do you think some little girls, I have met girls that are absolutely beautiful, that think they're ugly. I've met girls in size 6, size 8, and they think they're fat. I'll show you fat, baby. It's a vain imagination. And I know you may be sitting here thinking, I hope this helps these people. I want you to know, you probably have them in your hearts. You probably have these self-defeating thoughts and you wonder why they've got there. When I had a vision one time and I literally saw the claws of Satan in someone's head. That's what I'm talking about. That's a vain imagination that Satan has penetrated that heart. Now every decision they make comes out of that thought. But God's thoughts for us are positive. They're good. He calls us more than conquerors, victorious, winners, not defeated. And sets itself, what sets itself? Those vain imaginations. They set themselves up against the knowledge of God. So we take captive those thoughts and we make them obedient to Christ. Satan is in the business of lying. He's the father of all lies. So when he comes to you and he says, you are nothing but a loser, you say, excuse me, but God called me a winner. And he says that no weapon formed against me will prosper. So I cast down your thought. And let me just tell you, I've been serving Jesus for almost 50 years and it doesn't stop. Those vain imaginations, those fiery darts from the enemy, they keep coming. Matter of fact, there's an old saying, it's not scriptural, but there's a saying that says with every new level, spiritual level, there's a new devil. And it's pretty true. It gets tougher, in other words. But you learn who you are in Christ. Why do you think we're always trying to teach you? Get your identity from the Word of God. Who did God say you are? In Mark chapter 3, verse 27 says, in fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions until he first ties up the strong man. Okay, let's get down to brass tacks here. You may have habits in your life that you think, I've just got to overcome this habit. I've got to do better. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. I'm not going to follow that sin anymore. I'm going to quit doing that. And you talk yourself till you're blue in the face and you keep falling. Why? Because it's more than what you think it is. Satan has got a hold in your life, creating a habit of sin, and it needs to be broken off. How do you do that? You got to tie up the strong man first. What's that mean? The Bible says we have the power of binding and loosing. I can bind the devil and I can loose the Holy Ghost. And you ought to be doing that every day of your life, in your own life. Father, I bind the thoughts of Satan and I loose the thoughts of God in my life. Man, I'm going to tell you, you guys ought to pay me double for this sermon. This is so rich. I know you probably don't understand how rich this is, but this is rich. If you just understand what I'm telling you, you can go free. You can go free from the things that are plaguing you. What are you talking about, Eric? I'm talking about your anger. Why do I have these fits of rage? Why is it that I cannot stay off those pornographic sites? Why is it I cannot control this dirty mouth? I know I'm a believer and I love you, Jesus, with all my heart, but why do I do these things? Because Satan's got a claw. Yeah. And you need free. And I just happen to know a God that's able to break those chains off of your life. The Lord wants us to live a free, self-controlled life where He controls us. And here, I love this. He wants you to be in your right mind, just like Legion was at the end of that story. You see, a lot of you, you may think you're in your right mind, but I know you. And there ain't nothing right about your mind. No, I'm teasing you. But you may be making thoughts. You may be making decisions. And you keep thinking, why do I keep going around and creating, making these same bad decisions? Because they're coming out of the same head. You need to change your head. You need to change your thoughts. We're not going to be influenced by demonic forces, by imaginations or stronghold that Satan has put there. If you want to go free, you can go free today. What's it take? It takes a great deal of humility. Because in the Christian church, we have been trained to put this face on that says, everything's okay with me. And I cannot admit that I have a life-controlling problem. I cannot admit that I have thoughts of suicide. I don't know where that came from, but I'm guessing that came right out of the Holy Ghost. I cannot admit that every time I look in the mirror, I see a piece of junk, not a piece of value. And I think, God, why did you create me this way? God doesn't make junk. You're listening to the wrong voice. God wants to set you free today. Talking to Tanner yesterday, and I said, Tanner, I said, you know, we all go around looking for the right spouse when we need to take time to become the right spouse. Let God make you right. I've been married 36 years, and I prayed a lot for this woman. First few years of our marriage, I'd say, God, you got to make her over. God, you got to do something with that woman you gave me. And every time I prayed it, I would hear the same words. Let's deal with you. We know where the problems are. God's thoughts are peaceful. God's thoughts are powerful. God's thoughts are full of hope. God's thoughts are optimistic. If your thoughts are not peaceful, powerful, hopeful, and optimistic, you're thinking the wrong thoughts. You have an influence on your life. I pray to God today that you have enough humility to say, at the end of this service, Pastor, that's me. And I need something broken off my life. Amen. At this time, our worship team is going to come forward. Worship in the form of dance. I hear you have a name now.
Ignite.
Stephanie is going to make this introduction. Let's see if I can just move this.
Hello?
I'm going to give it back to you after. Bye.
I just want to start by thanking the Lord that He uses those that are obedient and who answer the call. And that's what all of us did for Ignite Praise Team is we're a vessel. And that's what I told these guys. Don't be nervous. You're just a vessel for the Holy Spirit to use. So as you see this, you might think, okay, this is a drama or a performance, but it's not. It's a ministry. And this has been our prayer. This whole song is a prayer for you in this room. We've been praying this for 6 months. I started thinking about it. We started this practicing at the old building in September. God was doing a work then. And I just believe it's an appointed time. God gave me the scripture in Luke chapter 4. And I wish I just had a great memory and could quote scripture verbatim. But He said He's going to set the captives at liberty. They're going to be set free. That's the reason He came. When Jesus went into that temple, He opened up that scripture, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor." See, that's who Jesus is. He came to set people free, to heal the bruised, to heal those that are hurting. And I just thank Him for it every day. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get started, okay? Lord Jesus, I thank You, Lord, that we're here at this moment, that we're here at this place, Lord Jesus, and that we get to openly praise You, Lord Jesus. We get to openly express our love for You. And Lord, as we're doing this drama, this presentation for You, Lord, I just pray that people don't see us, Lord, but they see You, the love that You have for them. And Lord, I pray that You pierce hearts, Lord Jesus, that You pierce hearts and that it goes root into good soil, Lord Jesus. And Lord, if there is anyone here that, Lord Jesus, that they are struggling, I pray that this song minister in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.
is power.
There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Hallelujah. 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 If everybody just stand up for a minute. Let's praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We know that you are a chain breaker, Lord Jesus. You break every chain, hallelujah, because there's power in your name. Your blood is enough. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, I pray that faith arise in this place. Faith arise in this place, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're here right now and you feel a chain that you've had for way too long, that's bound you up. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's fear. You're afraid. I don't know what's bound you today. It can be addiction. It can be that someone spoke a word in your life and it took root in your heart and you believe the lie. You need that lie cast out in Jesus' name. These altars are open right now. Our drama team has been praying for you. And they're up here right now waiting to pray. And I believe that there is people here right now that need prayer. So come up. Come up for prayer. If you need prayer, come right now. These altars are open. They're ready to pray for you. Come up right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, there is power in His name. If you need freedom, you need to come. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. He's knocking on some hearts. Thank you, Lord.
You declare it.
There is power in the name.
I feel like there's some that they need the Holy Spirit right now. They need that empowerment of the Holy Spirit so that they can go through life. Because see, it's not just a one-time fix at an altar. It's not just a one-time fix that this thing's going to leave you. Yes, there's power in the name of Jesus, but you need that empowerment for everyday living. You need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. If that's you today, you come forward. Hallelujah.
Powerful drama, huh? Remember the thing I said? You have to humble yourself. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Christians, we do not know the power of humility like we should. You may wonder why you're dealing with the same problem year after year. It's because we do not know to humble ourselves. You have to submit yourself to God. You have to come and say, these are hard words for some people to say, but to come to God and say, I need help. I need help. I need to overcome this life addiction. I'm going to tell you, the problems that we think are just regular, everyday problems are spiritual in nature. And you need God to break that off of your life. Some of you have been smoking for years and you wonder, why can I not overcome it? God can break it off of your life. Some of your problem is overeating. Many people that overeat have been hurt in the past. And that's a problem that God can break off your life. I know that's getting personal. Some of you are shopaholics. Some of you only know the joy when you're buying something. That's not God. God wants to free you from that. God wants to deliver you. You can go free today. Whatever your problem, if it's anger, rage, whatever those problems are, He wants to set you free. You have to humble yourself. You have to ask Him to help you, and He will. Amen. Hallelujah.